I am Andrew Lumen, and I am the executive director of the TOR project.
And could you just give us a really quick summary? What is TOR? What is it used for?
So TOR is a result of research and development of tools that help protect your online privacy and anonymity.
So it's a way to access the internet. It's not specific to browsing the web, right?
Right. So TOR is an anonymizing layer over the general internet. It routes you through a collection of three proxies, which helps protect you from traffic analysis, which is the ability of someone to record who you are and where you're going and how much you say and when you say and stuff like that.
I have heard that people like the Navy are using TOR, and TOR seems like it would be useful to people in Iran right now. Have you had any contact with people using TOR to evade repressive governments?
So TOR is a general tool that the more diverse our users, the better off we are, because the more you look like the internet, the less you look like you're suspicious. Yes, naval intelligence uses it, law enforcement uses it, normal everyday people who don't want to be tracked online use it, abuse victims use it, people in oppressive regimes also use it. We haven't specifically heard from any one person saying they've used TOR in Iran, but there are sites out there, if you're following the various hashtags on Twitter, that they're posting, you know, go here. One is iran.whyweprotest.net, and they have a big tutorial about how to set up TOR and use it, and why you should use TOR over other tools. We actually didn't set them do any sort of outreach to them. We don't really want to be taking on foreign governments directly. We'd rather let the people in their country make the decisions for themselves to speak up about what goes on. We also, because we're an anonymity network, we don't track users. However, we do track aggregate statistics on a 24-hour basis by GeoIP lookup for the country only, so we don't have IP addresses. And we've seen roughly a doubling of traffic from Iran in the past few days.
So clearly there are people using TOR to try to get out. And if someone were to set up a TOR server, they would be indirectly helping the effort by increasing the amount of nodes. Is that true?
Yes.
I was wondering about the legality of running TOR. One of the things, I read my Comcast end user license agreement, and it very specifically says that I have to protect my resources. Do you have any advice for someone who wants to run TOR about the legality of running TOR? Have you had any firsthand experience with people who have had to find an answer to that question?
Sure. Our advice is that nowhere in the world is it illegal to run TOR. Your contract with your ISP may clearly state no proxy servers and no running servers of any kind is typically what you see on a home internet connection. So that's a choice to the user if they want to do that. They should be aware, though, of the risk they take. If you do violate the contract, we can't help you. But there are plenty of ISPs out there who do let you run proxy servers or do let you run servers. They tend to be DSL providers more so than cable modem and Fios and stuff like that. You know, as for working with people who have, most of the time the ISPs simply don't want to oversubscribe their bandwidth. And the same sort of issue where people who do lots of BitTorrent, where I download a Fedora ISO and share it so others can download it faster, you know, my ISP might get upset and say, you're using way too much bandwidth. And that's a whole separate story, but it is possible with TOR.
Is it true or false that TOR is unstoppable? There's no protocol filtering thing that you could put in a network that could stop TOR. Is that true?
Not really. Because we're trying to be an anonymity and privacy network, we go out of our way to make sure we don't stand out from traffic, as in the TOR protocol looks like a web browser talking to an HTTPS or a secure website, and that's by design, so you don't stand out. You know, if we screamed that you were TOR, camping on some weird ports with some weird protocol, that would be pretty easy to block. There are governments and sensors out there who will simply block all of SSL, and anything that looks like SSL, anything that talks on port 443, anything that goes to HTTPS, they will simply just disconnect it. That's a tough thing to go through for anybody.
If you turn off SSL, you can stop TOR.
Yeah, but at the same time, you've also angered your entire citizenry, because now they can't even do simple things like e-commerce, which the governments may not care.
What is next for TOR? I mean, people who aren't paying attention to TOR, the technology project, what are you working on next? What is the next generation of TOR? What's the most interesting thing that you see happening?
So we have two things. TOR is a big believer in transparency and that everyone can see what we're working on. We have a 3-year roadmap, and that we are primarily working on performance to drastically improve the performance. TOR in the past few months has hit its first real scaling point where we believe we have between 300,000 and 500,000 daily users, and that's put an unbelievable load on the TOR network. So we're working on a number of ways to address and speed up TOR, because that's our number one complaint. And two is better ease of use, so that TOR appeals to a wider audience as opposed to just, you know, the technical people who can sort of figure it out. We have spent the past 2 years working on ease of use. and Tor is vastly easier to use, which is why now our network is overloaded, because we accidentally succeeded and everyone came. And then three, we are looking into the mobile space as phones such as the iPhone and the Android-based phones are capable of running Tor fairly well right now. And there's a whole lots of people in developing parts of the world, regardless of your government, are getting mobile first. Because, you know, why would you put in a landline infrastructure if you can just plop a tower and get everyone doing commerce over SMS or with a phone?
And the best way for people to show up and help out is to help develop or to donate money. Where do people go if they want to learn more about Tor and if they want to help out?
You can go to torproject.org and learn all about Tor. If you want to help out, we need help with, you know, everything. We are happy to take donations, as we are an actual 501c3 nonprofit, and in the U.S. and other countries, it is tax deductible. We're also happy to have help with development, sort of marketing, advocacy on, you know, valid reasons to use Tor and why what it means to you, and in general, you know, support, you know, user interface, everything. I mean, Tor is an 8-person company with a 3-year list of things to do.